I'm Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, a speaker, a mom of two teens and one emerging adult, and a passionate advocate for family and youth service. While I was researching my second book, Simple Acts, The Busy Teen's Guide to Making a Difference, I learned about so many big-hearted tweens and teenagers who are volunteering, fundraising, starting nonprofits, and becoming social entrepreneurs and activists. I wanted to hear their stories, and I wanted to celebrate them and share them with the world so that everyone can be as inspired as I am. I hope that after listening to these short episodes, you'll go out into your community and share your light, your talents, gifts, and strengths to help others. Because the truth is, every person can make a big impact, one simple act at a time.
On today's episode, I'm speaking with Daniel Kay, a 17-year-old high school senior from New York City. Daniel took one of his passions, sports, and playing fantasy football and following March Madness with his friends, and turned it into a fundraiser for a cause he cares about. He encountered some challenges along the way, which he'll tell us about, but he was able to pivot and be flexible, something that is so important when we're serving others in the community. He gives us some great reminders about tying our service to activities we enjoy and engaging with peers to make it fun and successful.
Hey, Daniel. How are you? It's so great to see you. Thanks for being with me today.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to get involved in the fundraising work that you did? Maybe you can tell everybody about how you got started in one direction and then you sort of had to pivot to another direction. And I think that's a really good example of sort of facing a challenge and overcoming it. So tell us a little bit about what you did.
Yeah, of course. So for me, one of my favorite things in coming to a new school, like my friend group, they love fantasy football, and I was voted into the league, and my mom was just shook by how much research and work I actually put into the league.
Yeah.
And I mean, it took up so much of my time and I lived for it. And I ended up winning the league my first year, which was really exciting.
Nice,
and,
yeah.
You know, ended up making some quick cash out of the league. And so, I don't know, at first, you know, I just had the money. My mom was like, why don't you do something with that? I mean, you're so passionate about fantasy football. And I kind of thought on it. And for me, growing up, I've always been a very antsy kid in the classroom. And that I found lessons not that engaging. So I struggled with kind of focusing in class. And so for me, the first thought was, why don't I, you know, fantasy football is all about numbers and research. And I thought, why don't I design a math curriculum that I could teach to students kind of similar to me who are struggling to pay attention in the classroom? Because things like sports can help people to kind of stay engaged and the more interesting, less, you know, find X, 2 + 2, but more kind of applying it to something in the real world can be more engaging. And so I kind of met a mentor along the way who kind of helped me design a curriculum, and I spent pretty much the entire summer working on it. But before that, you know, COVID had just hit. There's a lot of underfunded schools in New York City, especially in the Bronx. And you know, with everyone having to switch to virtual, not everyone has access to a nice computer, a nice iPad, or a nice, you know, whatever it is to kind of log on and be able to, you know, stay on top of all your schoolwork. So I raised a bunch of money. I did a March Madness fundraiser because, you know, everyone loves March Madness.
Right. With the boxes, just to be clear, that's what I've actually participated. So you have to do the boxes and the brackets and the whatever. Yep.
Exactly. Exactly. And I raised around $8,000 through that fundraiser, and it went to kind of buying laptops, or it was supposed to go to buying laptops for these underfunded schools so that they could, you know, take my course. And, you know, it was something I was really passionate about, and it was just a really nice experience kind of the whole thing panning out and kind of working in all these different segments of my project. And then unfortunately we had a rough patch where when I kind of finished everything and I was so excited to pitch to all these schools, I got the same feedback from every single school that fantasy football was too related to gambling.
Wow.
And whether you agree with that or not, I personally didn't. You know, it was a rough setback, and there wasn't really a way around it, unfortunately. And it was pretty disappointing. And for me, it was kind of hard to figure out what to do with the money. I was pretty discouraged. But thankfully, I had, you know, another thing that I was super passionate about. So I have been working as a busboy at a restaurant called Kings of Kobe on 42nd and 11th. I recommend everyone comes down and stops by and tries it out. The food's phenomenal. But
that's in New York City, everybody.
Yes. And I mean, it was serious. It's probably the greatest experience I've had in my entire life, working with such a diverse kind of set of people. They kind of accepted me for who I am. And I'd say for me, I was working for experience, but for them, you know, these paychecks meant a lot. And with COVID, all my I mean, I call them friends, got furloughed and they lost their jobs. And the first fundraiser, that $8,000, went to keeping the restaurant alive. It was very new. It had just opened. And that money went to supporting the employees while they were at home and, you know, unfortunately couldn't work, trying to keep them afloat. And, you know, that was really something that was very important to me.
Well, that is awesome. I loved the story about how you started with this idea that was based on your passion, which is something that I talk about a lot in my work and my work with teenagers in my book, you know, sort of taking your talents, your gifts, your skills, your passions, and applying them to a subject that you care about, a social justice issue, an organization that you feel passionately about, whether it's a healthcare related cause, you know, someone in your family is impacted by a certain disease or whatever, and figuring out a way to marry, you know, the thing that you love to do with a way to get back in your community. And I love that you did that. And then, you know, something happened where they said, oh, fantasy football and March Madness brackets and all that feels like gambling. And I get that as an adult. I suppose I understand that. They didn't want to have that so kind of closely tied. But at the end of the day, you raised a lot of money and you were able to do that because adults like me participated in your fundraiser. And I just love that you found another way to give that money away in a very meaningful way to folks that you knew personally. Do you think that that connection that you personally had with these folks that you were working with and with this restaurant that you really loved and this job that you really loved, do you think that that sort of colored how you wanted, where you wanted the money to go? Is that personal connection to those individuals? Do you think that that kind of drove a little bit of that as opposed to sending the money to City Harvest or something, right?
Yeah, 100%. I'd say that when it comes to, you know, fundraising, volunteering, activism, whatever it is, you want it to be related to something that you care about, something you're passionate about. You don't want to feel like you're raising money just to throw it at some organization and not know what they're doing with it. And so for me, it was very clear what money was going towards, and it was something that I personally connected with on a very deep level. And I knew exactly that it would be used in a very valuable way. I mean, a lot of my work friends, they were single parents. They were working other jobs, four or five jobs, whatever it was. And so for them, you know, COVID was really bad for them. And, you know, acknowledging kind of my state of privilege, I was very kind of honored that I was able to support them in that way.
Absolutely. So you are a rising senior in high school, right? You're going to be a senior this year. You're going to be applying to college. That's super exciting. And we wish you all the best. But do you see for yourself a way that you might be able to continue this work longer term? I think one of the other stumbling blocks that young people might feel is they start something really terrific. And if it's local to their community or whatever, and it's going to be hard to continue to do that if they go off to school someplace else. So have you thought that through a little bit?
Yes, I have. So actually, you know, this past March Madness season, I did another fundraiser, and I am the current leader of the City Meals on Wheels Club at my school.
Oh, nice.
Which is focused on kind of bringing meals to like isolated elderly who, you know, can't leave their home to go get food themselves. And so that was another way I was able to get involved in kind of the food and hunger area. So for me, wherever I end up, I want to either get involved with the organization there, or see if I can open a chapter in that city if it doesn't exist. So
sure.
I think there's many ways to get involved if just an area in general, something you're super passionate about. So it might not be directly with the restaurant, but I'd say food scarcity in general, something I'm super passionate about, and I think I'll be able to continue it for a while.
Absolutely, because unfortunately, there are hungry people all over the country. It doesn't matter where you are, cities, rural, suburbs. And I think that City Meals on Wheels is our version in New York City, but there are Meals on Wheels organizations similar to that everywhere because there are folks who can't get out to get hot meals. And so I think that's amazing. I think that you will absolutely find on pretty much every college campus, I hope, a community service club or someone sort of focused on that in their community. And as you've said, you can start something on your own. And that's sort of the beauty of the opportunity that every college gives you, that if you want to start a club, that you can and you should, and that you can recruit other people to do it with you. Do you feel that a little bit too in terms of getting your friends involved in your work? You know, one of the things that I talk about a lot in my book is the social aspect of volunteering and fundraising, and especially for teens after the last 2+ years, when you guys have been very isolated from your friends and peers. Do you think that the social aspect of this fundraising effort, because your friends are probably really interested in fantasy football and March Madness and all that, do you think that really helped as well?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was really nice, A, just that my friends were willing to kind of pitch in, but also follow me. They love March Madness, so it wasn't right. too much for them. But I'd say just being supported by your own community is something that gets you even more excited about whatever you're doing. And I'd say also, like with my club, you know, you have friends around you and it doesn't feel like you're doing service. It just feels like you're almost having fun at that point, whether right. it's delivering or packaging, you know, it's fun. And I'd right. say that's, you know, you want to find a meaning. And I think having a community around you really helps that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you hit it right on the head. It's sort of sneaky, right? You're doing service, you're doing this really good thing, but actually you're just having fun. You're hanging out with your friends. Exactly. And that's exactly. when adults and parents and caregivers say to me, oh, how do you get them to want to do it? I'm like, well, you don't have to get them to want to do it. You, you know, if you make it fun, if you make it something that they're passionate about, that they're interested in, and you bring friends along, I think that they're going to want to do it. So if you had a magic wand and you could solve a really big problem, you know, food insecurity, food scarcity, hunger is a really huge problem across the country, across the world, unfortunately. And you've found a way to sort of break it down into something really manageable in your community. So you're raising money for this organization that's got something very concrete that it's doing. But if you had a magic wand and you could solve any problem other than hunger, what do you think it would be?
I think there are a lot of things, of course. You know, there's climate change, there's racism, there's social injustice in general. For me, I'd say a big focus of mine is simply the word access. When I was younger, the first kind of form of service I did, I raised some money and I created a kind of a collection of books at for kids who had escaped abusive households. And they didn't have access to kind of leadership figures in their life that they could look up to. So at the kind of shelters where they were staying, I created like libraries there for them to be able to kind of read books with powerful mentors they could look up to. Education's a big focus of mine. Access to education, I think, is extremely important and kind of impacts the rest of a human being's life. So I'd say food ties in as well. I'd say just a big chain of things that I'm passionate about is just that word access.
You bet. No, that's awesome. I love that. Thank you so much. So if folks who are listening wanted to do something similar to what you've talked about, you know, you've mentioned that it's City Meals on Wheels. Again, there are Meals on Wheels organizations in every community. You can probably find them online. In terms of fundraising, just the nuts and bolts of that, how did you actually go about doing that? Did you have a website? Did you have a PayPal account? Like, how did you do some of that? Just to give folks who are listening maybe a little inspiration, a little direction on how they might go about doing it.
Yeah, I think it's a lot about kind of reaching out to your network. I'd say you'd be surprised how kind and generous people are. And whether they're your best friend or a friend of a friend of a friend, I think you'll be pretty struck by how interested people are in getting involved. So for me, it was about sending out kind of mass emails to pretty much, you know, most of my contacts. I personally raised the money through Venmo. So, you know, when you signed up, you would Venmo and then I would respond to the Venmo with like the code to the March Madness fundraiser. But I think there's so many ways to raise money. Getting your friends to kind of reshare a link on their Instagram, on their Snapchat, whatever it is. I mean, utilizing kind of your network and talking to your parents and seeing if they can reach out to some people they know and kind of communities you're a part of. But yeah, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with how many people really want to get involved.
Well, I think you raised a good point about social media, right? Which is one thing that I really advocate for and I'm really encouraging of is, you know, just follow positive people, positive accounts. People are doing good things with their reach and their platform. If you have a lot of followers and you can share information about a fundraiser that Daniel is doing with a really fun element to it, and then you get the feedback about how much was raised and all of the good that came out of it, I'm just a huge fan of social media being sort of a powerful tool to spread good, to spread good messages and positive things in the world. So I love that you said that. And I think we have this incredible amount of reach right now that didn't exist, you know, even 10 years ago. And yeah. Your generation really knows how to leverage that. So I applaud you for that. But, you know, as you pointed out, Venmo and PayPal and other websites, many times national organizations already have a way to set up your own fundraising page, as you know. You do a marathon, a walkathon, whatever. And so that's a really easy way to do it. And it's super impactful because you can see the numbers go up, right? And isn't that so exciting? Like when you see the bottom, how much you've raised at the end of the day. Well, Daniel, we are so grateful that you came and spoke to us today. I am personally very grateful. You are my first interview on my new podcast. I'm really excited about that. Full disclosure, I've known Daniel since he was born. So very proud of him and his sisters and all the good stuff they put out in the world. We are wishing you the best of luck in your college process. And we know that you're going to do great things at whatever school is lucky enough to have you. So thanks so much for being with us today, Daniel.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Simple Acts, Big Impact. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter to a podcast. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing something really great in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others. And always, be kind.